Damn. Right in. Right in. No waiting. Right in. Sat down. Click record. I like it. It's good. What was that? What did you just take?
My drugs.
The speed that you need.
The speed that I'm always doing right before Dorkspot.
Yeah. You know how we have a kind of manic energy and you can't put quite a finger on it? It's because Dylan
it's
takes
all the,
hard
it's all
drugs.
The drugs. It's not the anxiety or the personality or anything like that. It's
just pure drugs.
Pure drugs, yeah.
Pure drugs.
No, that was for my cholesterol.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Good.
Because we found out it was genetic.
Oh,
I was like,
fun.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. God.
Oh,
that's fun.
My body hurts so bad. I did a okay. So I jog a lot, as we're all aware. Today I was on my Fitbit app that I have. One of the coaches, which is literally just a YouTube video that is fancy and someone walks you through stuff, but it was exclusively upper body strength stuff. I was like, sure, I run most of the time, so my legs are fine. I should probably do some upper arm strength stuff. The picture was the thumbnail was the coach is a guy in a wheelchair, and I was like, sure, I mean, whatever, probably knows a decent amount about upper body arm strength. That is the hardest workout I've ever done. That guy tried to fucking kill me.
Oh my God, I cannot imagine.
I truly did it, and I was upstairs like half an hour later. I was laying down and my body was like, you need to sleep right now. You're going to fully shut down. I couldn't even do the reps the guy was asking me to do at this beginner ass course. It turns out my arms are pathetic ass, wet, stupid, idiot noodles. But he was like, he was doing a thing. Where he was like, okay, take both of your like 10 pound weights and then have them like start, either side of your, either side of, like, you know, you just hang them beside your body and then you just lift them up to like above your head. Could not do it. I got to like halfway before my body was giving out and I was fucking trying real hard. I was trying. I couldn't do it.
You had to say that you were trying.
I was trying really hard
and I just gave up. I just said no.
If a lot of the courses that I do, sometimes I do just give up. Sometimes I'm like, it's fine. Like, oh, this is pretty tough. I'm just going to stop
for a
few reps. Yeah. This one, I was genuinely trying to do it because he kept saying, because he was he's like a gold medalist, like basketball player. And he was like, it's the fourth quarter, guys. He kept saying it's the fourth quarter and you got to push, even at the start of this workout thing. And I was like, buddy,
they're always lying to you. They're always lying to you.
Always fucking lying to me. They're trying to get one over on me.
You know what?
He did. He fucking killed me.
Yeah.
So my body is in a lot of distress right now.
I hate the thing where they start to count down from a low number to make you feel like it's going to be over soon.
And then just before the two and the one. Yeah.
Just before the two and the one, they go on a full ass off topic. Five. That's right, gang. You got this. Don't worry about it. It's going to be nothing. You know, one time I was in class, I couldn't, and they tell a whole story and then they're like, Four. You're like, oh, fuck off.
You fucking suck, dumbass. You think I'm a baby who doesn't know what the fuck you're doing, idiot?
Evil. The betrayal in that moment where you realize that five is a lie.
Because eventually, the more he said we were in the fourth quarter, I was like, he's got to be right at some point.
At some point, there is the fourth quarter. We just don't know which one.
He's
got
to not be lying to me. And there was a point where I was like, man, I'm sweating. My arms, again, cannot do the reps that he's asking me to do. I'm struggling so hard. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to click. I'm just going to tap my phone just to casually see how much longer is left. And we were like halfway through. And I was like, brother, I'm going to fucking die. You got to be nice to me. This shit fucking
please. Sucks. Oh, my God. So now anyway, what day was that you did that?
Today.
That was today?
That was today, babe.
Oh, you're
You know when I called and I was like, I'm fucking exhausted? It's because I had just woken up from the nap the guy forced me to take.
Yeah.
Also, oh my God. I found out that Fitbit have, like, created their own, like, they call it cardio load. It's a fitness term that Fitbit invented, and I didn't realize this because it's like they have this weird formula that I like googled, but I googled it because I was speaking to my friend, and they were, and I was like, yeah, I'm not hitting my, like, if I do anything other than cardio, I cannot hit my cardio load. And they're like, what the fuck does that mean? I was like, you know what, I don't actually know. And I googled it, and it was like, this is the weird formula, this is a thing that Fitbit invented. I was like, oh, fuck you. Fuck you, actually.
Fuck off.
I actually don't need you to invent shit.
No, stupid. You don't need to be doing that. These glasses are
But it's just numbers. I like getting the numbers. The glasses are pissing you off.
Yeah, I don't like these glasses with my headphones. They don't like my other glasses fit better under the headphone ears, yeah. And these are like too wide. I can feel them fighting with the headphones for space on my face. Anyway. Sorry, keep going.
These glasses are the same, but not that I can feel them fighting for space. It's that I have, my ears are slightly, like, they're not at the same height. And no more can I feel that when I'm recording stuff with these specific glasses, where my glasses are just, like, slightly tilted because my ears are incorrect on my face.
And they're being smushed against your head, so there's no
even
like,
more
give.
Crooked yeah.
Now I get
and
it
I look I look it. Stupid and it drives me up the fucking
you don't
wall.
Look stupid but I do get the
I look a bit stupid
the thought
I like a big stupid guy who can't even lift a weight above his head.
Oh my God, you're working out and that's cool. And that's cool. I will
what are
tell
we doing here.
No, I...
No, no, you tell your story. Sorry.
My story was one that I already told you, but it's that I've been going line dancing every week. Yeah. And you already know this, but the listeners don't. But I've been going line dancing every week to a beginner's class. And it's been awesome. And they do like two lessons a week. And then in between the lessons, they do a bunch of songs that they've taught in previous lessons. And so... You know, you learn them over time and then you can wind up like after a while, I pretty much like dance all night on the nights that I go. And then we went to an intermediate one this past weekend. And boy, howdy, was that humbling. It was so humbling. The lesson went well. I did well during the lesson, but I could not do any other songs that night at all. Mm. And so now I'm just really excited because this has been like my one of my favorite things now. But we're going to go back to the beginner one to feel better, to regain our to heal our ego. And then the thought is that we got to start going to this intermediate class so that we can get good at these cool dances because they look so good. They look so much fun.
Yeah. I have a follow-up question. Follow-up question.
Follow-up question. Take her fancy.
Follow-up question. Do you take her fancy? follow-up question.
Do you take her fancy?
Is it the same song all night?
No, they play different
songs.
You
learn like an album.
These songs have dances that are choreographed by different choreographers. So like normally if you go to different places and like they play that same song, you will see people do like you can do the dance in multiple places. It's not like this is like a So they play that song.
Oh, cool. Oh, sick.
Yeah.
That's fun. I didn't know that bit. That's cool.
Yeah. So like our friend, another game designer from out of town, came to visit New York wanted to do this because this is a thing they do everywhere, like all the time. We went out to this place and they knew like every dance.
That's really cool, actually. It's really rad.
It's the best, actually. Turns out I fucking love line dancing.
Damn. When I'm next in town, you should take me.
Oh, you would really like it. My biggest disappointment was that Millie and Grace were too partied out to go with us. Because I think they would have fucked it up.
They would have fucked it up. That would have been sick.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Especially Grace. I'm actually surprised.
I know,
about this, especially
Grace.
For Grace.
Would have loved it.
Grace would have loved it.
I know.
She could have worn her little cowboy boots. Not a cutie.
My poor little party girl.
What are we doing here?
My name is Dylan, and I've played 2 Mass Effect games.
Hello, my name is Robin. I play the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. But you know what I haven't played 100 million times?
I know!
The Leviathan DLC of Mass Effect 3.
Leviathan DLC!
So we are playing Mass Effect 3. This is Dorkspawn. We play video games like a book club. This week, evidently, we did the Leviathan DLC of Mass Effect 3. So I have never played this before. This came out. So I played Mass Effect 3 on launch. I played it several times into the double figures on launch. And I stopped playing it before Leviathan and Shore Leave came out. If someone is like, well, they came out like immediately after, like a week or two after,
I
say, I was also a 17-year-old boy and didn't have any money.
Yeah,
so,
you were a little baby.
I was just like a baby, so I didn't play it.
You were a little baby.
You're a tiny little baby. And I spoke like this the whole time. Just a tiny old guy playing Mass Effect.
Please, Governor, can I have that little DLC, please?
Please, Governor, I need to go with all my friends all over to space. Which is what I said. I sound like when I was 17.
One day I'd like to save the galaxy.
Have you guys seen Garrus Vakarian? That's my boyfriend, that is.
That's my boyfriend. I love that Pauper Robin still knows the truth that Garrus Vakarian.
Yeah, the Garrus Vakarian is my boyfriend. Yeah. Yep. I have romance Garrus, and I did it when I was 17 before I realized that there was something fun about that. So this is Leviathan DLC. Because either of us have played this. I want to just shoot across the ship. What's our thoughts on it?
Oh,
I thought it was fucking.
Yeah, no, this was really great. I thought this was a great one. This was great. And I actually don't want to say anymore because I want to get into certain parts of it because I have comments. Yeah, I have comments to make that are
sick.
So first, as it turns out, this is the DLC. I think I did mention this on the podcast, but I had accidentally started this.
Yes, I had also started this.
You also did too. So the parts that I did was Dr. Bryson's lab, which is the first one, the first bit where you find the first clue about things. And then there is the Leviathan one, I think it is. But basically what happens is you first have to figure out where the fuck anybody is that and again, I did this actually a while ago, but this is like
I did watch a YouTube video, like kind of relay, like I just watched the first bit again on a walkthrough.
Oh, that's smart. So because this is, correct me if I'm wrong, the early part of this is where you go to that lab and you're like kind of trying to piece together clues to figure out where Garno might be in the universe, essentially.
Yeah, so the first thing that happens is you go to meet Bryson because he has information on this Reaper killer. He says there is a thing that, like, he understands Reapers, why the Reapers are doing what they're doing, like the Reapers' motives. And also, they scooped up a dead Reaper, and he has traced it to this thing called the Leviathan, that is something that was able to destroy a Reaper just on its own. And obviously that's the biggest deal ever. So you go to his lab in the Citadel, and then when you see him, as you're talking to him, and he's telling you this information about this Leviathan, the Leviathan of Dis, the Reaper killer, his assistant goes weird and then says the darkness cannot be breached. The darkness must not be breached, and then shoots Bryson. And then you restrain him. He wakes up and is like, oh my God, what the fuck happened? And is freaking out. You and Edie is very big in this. Edie is a very important person to have with you, because she is forced to be with you in this, like walking around the lab, and you have
in
and
the
you're
lab
trying
part.
To track.
Right.
Yeah. You're trying to track where people who know where Bryson would be, or like, you know, you're trying to retrace Bryson's steps to find an information on where this Leviathan is. Yeah.
Yes. Right. And you have to it's a weird thing where you have to then go to that big map thing and plug in your clues and then kind of narrow them down and pinpoint it. And it's stuff here we're a bunch of random murders reported, and here we have
people blacked
signs
out.
Of Reaper attacks, and here we have these things, and you're kind of just like puzzling it out until you figure out what the cluster is, and then you do figure out a location that it could be where you
you find a mining facility on an asteroid.
So
you fly over there and you bloop, 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 to try to find you find that he's been searching investigating Reaper indoctrination, relaying the Reaper indoctrination to the Rachni, and how the Rachni kind of have a similar thing. But then Edie is like, it is similar, but it is not the same by any means. It is a natural process rather than the Reaper's indoctrination, which is a mechanical process. It is also over very short distances rather than Reaper indoctrination, which can happen over millions and millions of miles, millions of light years even. I mean, the Reapers in the first one were doing it to Saren. I mean, admittedly, he had Sovereign, but regardless. You are trying to find a Dr. Garneau. You fly to this asteroid. This mining facility. And then the game gets super weird and horror. This is kind of a horror DLC in a way that I think is so fucking cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Right away.
You go.
So yeah. So you get into this mining facility, you land, it's fully staffed and operational, but when you land there, it's swarming with husks and stuff.
Yeah, husks
and
Reapers,
and other Reaper things. So you have to shoot your way into the facility, and then you get in there, and it's everybody's operating nothing is wrong at all. So then you go up to reception or whatever, and you're hey gang, can I you guys know you were just being attacked by the world enders out there, right? You know that they were just trying to kill all of you, and they were oh, okay. And then you're okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know where Dr. Garneau is? And they're there's no Dr. Garneau here. You should go. Do you need a doctor? They're just talking. And so it's immediately I'm oh, we're doing a tranquil. We've got this like kind of magical lobotomy thing happening here. Interesting right off the bat, but very creepy and maybe and definitely creepier than how the
than the tranquil
than the tranquil are because it is like they are just sort of like on this autopilot, like lobotomized sort of voice. And then you are walking around because you're like, you tell them, you're like, well, I need to find Dr. Garneau. And they're like, there's no Dr. Garneau here. You should go. And then they're like, the elevator's down anyway. You can't go anywhere. And you walk away and you're like, yeah, I'm not listening to that. And you go fix the elevator.
It's really fun that the first time when you first walk in, it's you. It's like three people are talking to each other, and then two of them look at you, and the one who's back turned, like very. They do like the horror, like very slowly, like turns their head almost 180 to look at you, and Shepard's like, "Okay." Before you walk over to the
very creepy.
So cool. It's really great. Yeah.
And then you go, you fix the elevator yourselves. You go adventuring through, and then you're like searching for Garneau yourself, and as you do, you get like prompted, there are people you can talk to. Anybody you go up to is just like, you don't belong here. And more than that, you walk into rooms and you see people pulling down shutters to their windows. You see people turning off their electronics, disabling things so that you can't see what they're working on. They are hiding everything from you, and they won't talk to you. And then they're just like, you don't belong here, you have to leave. And they keep saying that. But nobody does anything to you. Nobody attacks you. Nobody, like, pushes you out. Nobody locks any door. Like, nothing like that happens. So it's just this sort of bizarro, like, weird.
Just, like, hiding information. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So then you
and
have
you get
a couple
the opportunity
of
to talk to a lot of people, but all of their responses
are
like, go away, you don't belong here, and things like that. It's cool.
Yeah. And then, so it's cool. We have this like very cool little adventure, I thought, in through this lab where you are trying to find Dr. Garneau. And to get it, we have to like kind of uncover a lot. Like first we encounter a crew quarters that we can't get into without a crew member code. We have to go kind of exploring around. We find that crew member code. We break into there. We get some stuff in there. We then have to find a, there's a big security camera thing, and we need a security hack login. Edie has to get that for you, or I don't think Edie has to, because I got to choose Edie for this mission, but I took Edie, and Edie
I took Edie. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Edie found the codes while we were adventuring around, and then we got into the security system. And then in order to get the med bay, we had to use the security system, like hack through and get a patient number so that we could get then into the med room. So it was a lot of like this kind of piecemeal thing, but it led us to adventure basically this entire facility, which I thought was very cool. It was a cool way to get you to like really rummage around the place. And then you go into the med rooms, and you're looking around, and you look through a window, you see a body on the table, and you're like, fuck, are we too late? Is that Garneau? And as you're talking, a fucking creepy shadowy figure from behind a like one-way glass in another room is like, you're looking for Garneau. And he's talking normally for a second, and then he goes cuckoo mode, where he
eyes
just
go black and starts
and that's when he says the same thing that was said earlier, which was, what was it again?
The darkness must not be breached.
That's it. So he repeats that phrase from earlier, and then he breaks through the glass with his body and starts fucking running, booking
just
it, and you have to book it through this place, except he's turning everything off on his way. And he's like, he locks you out of the doors. You have to like reprogram the doors to work. So like he's running, but you're getting slowed down by every option. And then he keeps on going. Eventually you're like outside and you're about to break in. And this is where, hold on, I'm not mixing things up. This is where
he's next to a Leviathan artifact now. Yes,
when you finally break in, he's
up against it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's like kind
set
of
upon by a bunch of husks.
It.
Yeah, he's yeah. being set upon by a bunch of like husks, and it's a very like creepy scene. They're like full zombie crawling toward him and slowly shambling. He looks towards you and then shows that he has a detonator, and then he blows himself up, also blowing up the artifact and then killing all of the Reapers that have been around him.
Yep.
And then a bunch. All of it. You go. No, you go. You go. You go. You go.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. So basically him destroying this thing like shuts this off. The people start like walking in and they're like, hey, what happened here? Also, who are you?
Yeah.
And we're like, did a Dr. Bryson show up here? Did he get killed? Because we found in the files that he got here, like, I think like a month ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we're like, do you remember Dr. Bryson getting here? They're like, no. And they're like, we're like, all right, what year is it? And they say 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Well,
ago.
Because, you say, oh, well, it's important to the war on the Reapers. And they're like, what is a Reaper?
What is a Reaper?
And you're like, what year do you think this is? And then they said 10 years ago. And you're like, oh, shit. These people have been indoctrinated for 10 years and can't remember a single thing about it. Crazy.
Yeah.
Their life is about to get way worse.
Yeah, we're gonna need an extraction and therapy for all of them immediately, awaiting them on the Citadel. And then we leave that place.
Yeah, and then we leave because we find we are like, okay, so Bryson isn't here, We then go back to the lab to like try again and try other things.
Yeah.
Garno was a failure. We know that Dr. Bryson had a daughter. Dr. Bryson has a painting. Has a painting by Anne Bryson when she was like 9. And Edie is like, oh, by like General Alliance reports, she's like late 20s, early 30s now.
Yeah. You're
like, fantastic. Good. You find things about her, and then you're like, okay, she is on this different mining facility. Oh, she's on this different facility somewhere else. Sure, let's shoot for her. Let's, again, still trying to find where the Leviathan is or what the Leviathan is. You go all the way there, and then as you get there, the Reapers are full storming Anne Bryson. She's in this... You're like on the side of this cliff edge is this whole facility. So, oh my God, what's his name? What's your shuttle pilot's name?
Fuck.
Shit.
Off.
Okay. So fuck
remember.
Off. So fuck off flies you. flies you in, and he's like, oh, we can't land because there's a shit ton of harvesters here. There's a lot of Reapers.
Right.
So you just dive off and you're like, fuck it, park us where you can. Okay. And then you storm up. On your walk up, there's all these murals of Reapers. These giant murals depicting people like worshipping Reapers. Shepherd comments on it a few times. I brought James Vega with me. James Vega also has a weirdly big thing in this.
What?
He is in a lot of... So we do this thing. We find Anne Bryson. We see all these Reaper murals. Then we see another Leviathan artifact and all of these Reapers interacting with it, like how Shepard was interacting with the Prothean beacons, we see Reapers interacting in the same way to these Leviathan artifacts, kind of like floating up and getting just like information beamed into their minds.
Yeah.
Then we kill a harvester. The only time we've actually killed a harvester before, as far as I'm aware. We fight a harvester, but we don't kill the harvester. It flies away. This time we kill the harvester.
Yeah.
Because we have to so that Cortez can land.
Yeah.
I think that's our shot of
Cortez.
There we go. We got it, baby. So Cortez can land. But then Anne starts getting indoctrinated again. Back at the lab, we go back. James Vega is hanging out. He has a lot of things to talk about just like this in general. So then because it's him and Edie at the lab, from this point on, I bring him with me. The first time I've done it, he had a lot of levels to gain. He stepped foot off that ship being a level one with like three abilities to being one of the most juiced members of our squad. So we get to the lab. He's really interested in all this. Dr. Bryson has a husk head on his desk. I don't know if we talked about that. It's not on his desk. It's like in the lab. It's just
the
head of a husk. There is also a Prothean artifact in the lab. And also a Leviathan artifact. We shield the Leviathan artifact because we're like, that is what is giving people this weird indoctrination curse, so we should shield it off. Bring Anne back. Anne is obviously deeply upset that her dad is dead. They didn't like each other. They had a very tumultuous relationship.
Oh, right, because did we not say that? The guy that was hiding on the husk isn't Dr. Bryson. The one that was like... The one that we walk in on, like, leading, like, had killed Dr. Bryson and was like using his, we just kind of breezed past that. But
we then, Anne is like, the way that we can trace this, because unlike the Reapers, this, again, is an organic indoctrination thing. And that can be tracked, unlike inorganic indoctrination.
Right.
So she was like, I have already been indoctrinated because she was on the planet we were just on. She had a moment where she went dark mode and then you like shook her out of it and then you all ran away. Again, saying that darkness cannot be breached or must not be breached. Get on to... And then we get onto the ship and fly away and we're at the lab. And then she's like, well, let's unshield it. I will get hit first. Just track where it's going. Like, track where it's coming from.
Right.
I'm like, okay. I'm doing all of the renegade options here.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So she starts getting it. She starts getting indoctrinated. And she starts, like, convulsing violently as she's getting indoctrinated. James Vega is like, okay, let's shut it down. And then there is a renegade react. And I say, nope.
No.
Commanding officer, you sit back down. And then he does. And then she gets a little more indoctrinated and then starts convulsing more violently and her nose starts bleeding. And then James Vega's like, I'm going to shut it down. You're like, I command you to sit down. This is my operation. Sit. And then he does. And then her, like, eyes start bleeding and she fully, like, she then fully passes out. But every single time this renegade thing, it's like Edie is tracking. James Vega is like, hey, we have to stop this. She's being really hurt. And I'm like, nope, we're close to getting it. We have to keep doing this. And then Edie eventually is like, I got it. I got it on lock. And then Shepard immediately, like, smacks the close button and then the shield goes up. Anne passes out almost dead. Shepard is like, James, take her away. And then we have the point where the Leviathan is, this planet in the middle of this nowhere galaxy. the renegade is just to stop. Like she's still alive, but very, very barely. And the renegade option was clearly just to like keep her on her, to keep this tracker going. I don't know if anything is different if you stop her doing it. Did you stop? I imagine your reaction is.
So I did the first one. I did the first one, but then I stopped. And the rest of it stays kind of the same. But I don't know if this is true. I heard that if you keep doing the interrupts, she dies, or not dies, but maybe passes out.
She does pass out, and then she's just out for the rest of the DLC.
And then she's out for the rest of the thing because the same thing happens, but she doesn't pass out. And we still get what we need, and everything like kind of keeps just works out the way it does. Do you get her added as a war asset?
No.
If she gets incapacitated. No.
That means that she did die. She did die during it then.
Oh my
I
God.
I think
she's
able to walk out, but she clearly dies from injuries later.
Right.
Hey, campers. Have you heard of season 5 of 5 Gems and a Trench Coat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice green natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of three childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes 2nd edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first 3 episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
During all of this, just as an aside, I don't remember where you find it. It's not in this section. I think it's when you find Anne, like the first time you find Anne, you find a little dossier that has her and her father's dossier trip status to send both of them to these two labs. And I forget what her ship name is because it doesn't matter, but his is the Kirkwall. Is the name of the ship that took him to that terrible, terrible lab, the lab of nightmares.
Oh my god, I love it. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Obsessed with that viciously and violently.
Yeah.
She, the voice of Anne Bryson, is also the voice of Ariana Coosland as well.
Oh, wow. Oh, I did not notice that.
I am just on the wiki now.
I did not notice that at all.
Yeah, it's fun. Oopsie. Yeah,
oopsie.
Yeah, she's a little bit dead.
That's funny.
Wah-wah. And then we go to... We go to the Leviathan planet. We find it.
Yeah.
It is a full water planet. Roiling storms. Hey gang. My fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love it. The rest of this is genuinely my nightmare. I loved it so deeply.
Yeah.
I have one humongous fear, and that is the horrific deep dark ocean and the many horrors that live in it.
Oh, absorb
every piece. We have talked about it. I absorb every piece of media that has to do with Leviathans and Eldritch horrors. I love it so much. It is a thing that truly, truly horrifies me.
Yeah.
So go to this water planet. The ship, the shuttle gets busted as you're flying in.
Yep.
because it gets hit with this pulse of energy. You crash on an outpost of a group of people who were stranded there because they flew in their ship. You know, they were just a scout group, I gather. But then their ship couldn't leave orbit because of the Leviathan's impulse. And they all kind of went a little mad and died. They all died there. This is also mentioned several times that it is ancient. It is all spacecraft that they have. It is all mechs. It is all, like, you know, high flying like that. But the insignias are unrecognizable because of how old they are. The types, the models of ships are so old that James Vega can't, like, identify what they are.
Identify them,
It's just very old. You get there. You try to help Cortez fix up the ship. But as you're helping him, there is a giant Reaper that appears in the sky. The Reapers are like... Yeah. Have followed you and are still tracking, trying to find this Leviathan. You don't know why. Again, the Leviathan are able to kill Reapers. So we imagine that the Reapers also want them to die. You do a fun little fight. You get little battery packs, and the whole fight is that you're trying to charge up this battery pack because you see that there are diving mechs and the signal,
and those are cool.
The indoctrination signal is still coming from below you. So you get onto the planet and you're like, oh, the signal isn't here. It's deep below us into this deep ocean. So then you have to get a diving mech all up and working. And then you get in, you kill a few more guys, and then there's nothing left to do. Everything is dead. The Reaper has stopped its advance for now. It will start its advance later. You've powered up this diving mech. It's now time to try to find what this Leviathan is. The mech only has room for one, so Shepard is like, all right, fuck it. Gets into this mech, jumps off the side of the vessel above ground, down into the ocean. There is a loading screen that is a tiny, tiny mech and a big flashlight into just the darkness of the ocean.
Yeah.
And that's the loading screen because it's horrifying.
It's terrifying.
So fucking scary.
And you see like you get to watch like the depth that you're at on your little HUD.
Yeah.
And the numbers terrify me alone. the whole thing is terrifying. Yeah.
And then you hit the surface floor of the ocean. Unimaginable depths.
Yeah.
And then you keep walking all underwater in this mech suit. It's pretty fun.
It's really fun.
All you're doing is moving, but it's fun. And then Shepard is like, the reading is still below me. Like, there are still, like... It's like still 1,000 foot before I hit this thing. And then you like jump. Shepard also shuts off all major, like all power stuff except for emergency power stuff. Cause she's like, I don't know if I'm going to be making it. Like, it's so deep that I don't know if the thrusters can make if it can breach the surface.
You can come back up. Yeah.
Yeah. So she turns everything off except for pure emergency functions. Walking down, and then there's a giant hole on the ocean floor, and she's like, all right.
I'm going in.
And then falls for, again, another 1,000 foot before she hits the bottom. There's this loud clunk of the mech. And then you continue to walk forward, and then a unimaginably huge thing appears from even further below where you are. Appears and you see the Leviathan, a truly horrifying scene as the camera like pans out as it like you get smaller and it is just Dead. Shows the huge size of this thing staring at you. It's fucking horrific. And as you see when you look at it, the Leviathan is just a Reaper. It looks exactly the same as a Reaper, but if a Reaper was a squid.
Was a fish, yeah.
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 It's just an organic Reaper. Looks right. Cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And then you have a conversation with it. And it fucking rules. This was truly the perfect place to play this. Last week, we talked about how... Kai Lang... and Jarvik was like, there is something else controlling the Reapers, or something else that the Reapers are listening to. And then we meet the Leviathan, and the Leviathan reveals hundreds of millions of years ago, the Leviathans were the apex race in the galaxy. They indoctrinated everything.
Everything, and
everything just lived in this like indoctrinated state and were happy. They could provide for them.
yeah.
And then the Leviathans, then it turns out that all the people worshipping the Reaper that we saw on the Ambryson mission actually weren't worshipping a Reaper. They were worshipping a Leviathan because the Leviathans had mind controlled everyone to do that. The Leviathans then decided to build an AI to best look like do what is best for everyone in the galaxy for because the Leviathans saw that there was this one alien race that got so smart they ended up killing each other, and the Leviathans
were
like nope.
That's crazy, you can't do that,
that's crazy, why would you do that,
we know how to take care of you, don't worry about it kitten, we'll
yeah
we'll
don't worry about it
you.
Kitten daddy's got it.
We'll build you a mom, giant mom AI.
Yeah.
And then
but giant
that
mommy went. AI. Yeah. And giant mommy's AI's only program was to do what's best for the galaxy, to have it survive as long as possible. This AI looked at every single organic race and saw every organic race kill themselves by these giant weapons of mass destruction and came to the conclusion the best thing to do is before they get to that point, eat
just
them.
Eat all of the ones that are going to destroy the galaxy.
And then they built themselves a body based on Leviathans. And then that's where the Reapers were born.
Yeah. And I cannot believe, because when we started this, a really common like sci-fi trope that I really enjoy, but is like hard to look at in the cold light of day a lot, is stories about AI and sentience, because we deal with a lot of that in one and two in particular, and in three surrounding the Geth. A lot is like, you know, like these creatures who like were not built with sentience and then developed it somehow, and like how do we reconcile that, and should they have personhood, et cetera, et cetera. Which are great stories, awesome stories, but we're using terminology that now we are dealing with and facing in real life here now, that actually the terminology that we use for these stories matches like this kind of horror thing where like you're feeding into a machine that is just amalgamating all of the horrors and biases of everything that's fed to it. It's not really an intelligence. It is an algorithm that is filled with biased information. And so I was shocked to, after so many stories that are like the more traditional stories of AI about like actual artificial intelligence becoming sentient and needing to fight for personhood, we then have this story of an AI that is actually more akin to what we now know, we now call AI, which is this false intelligence, that this thing that just consumes knowledge about things from the universe and then spits out an answer
and kind of regurgitates
that is so
stuff.
Often full of misinformation, bias, and like the most extreme opinion you could possibly come to the conclusion of. And that was like fascinating.
Yeah. Really cool.
Deeply.
A fucking such a cool way to be like, this is what the lead villains, this is how the lead villains became what they are. Like,
yeah.
Because a lot of this, because genuinely, so I didn't know, I knew a little bit about this DLC going in. Yeah. I knew that Leviathans were like based on Reapers were based on Leviathans. But I thought that it was that the Leviathans were the last race that the Reapers devoured.
Oh, so right, because that makes sense, because the Reapers do sort of take...
They kind of adapt shape. Things that... Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I thought that was. I did not know I was going into the Reaper creation myth. So fucking cool.
So cool.
The Leviathans, they do say that the first Reaper was Harbinger, which was the lead villain of Mass Effect 2. Harbinger assuming direct control. The Harbinger was the first Reaper to ever be created. And that the Leviathans are like, we are down here because these Reapers are stronger than us. We have seen countless races rise up and then immediately get wiped out from all of them. There is no way to stop the Reapers. This is just going to happen. We are safe here. The Reapers obviously want to kill us because we created them, and that's kind of, you know, their job mission has not been completed from the cycle,
yeah,
hundreds of millions of years ago. The Leviathans are fun because they decide to trap you there. They trap Shepard there specifically. Shepard goes into this weird, like mind indoctrination realm, and we see Shepard like convulsing in the chair of the in the chair of the mech, as Shepard is arguing with them that this time will be different because you've all seen me. And that's a thing that she says, which is fucking cool. She's like, you know, it will be different. You've seen me. Like, if you're in my mind, you're seeing what
I'm
doing.
You've seen what I've done.
Like, yeah. She's like, God, she's the coolest woman in the fucking galaxy. This is so sick. And then even the Leviathans are like, we appreciate that you are different to everything else we've seen, but we still don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
and then you're able to... I was able to convince them anyway.
Yeah.
Convince them round. And same. Then, and then they put you back in your body, and then Shepard immediately flicks on the thrusters because she's like, power is about to go down, so I need to do this now. Shoots herself back up to the surface. You see the rest of the crew shooting endless hordes of Reapers, and then the Leviathans... also, before you leave... you're speaking to just one Leviathan this whole time, and then two others flank it on either side, showing that there's might be an entire culture of Leviathans,
which, like, I assume,
just out of sight. Yeah, because I mean, they've been living for hundreds of millions of years, so they must. Yeah. There must be something. And then these three, like, do indoctrination, mind control shit, and just blow the Reaper out of the sky. They just kill it immediately as you're flying out.
I'm like, gang, this could be over so quick.
This could be over so fast,
so
please.
Quick.
And then you fly off, and there is a very brief, like, you speak to Admiral Hackett, and you're like, yeah, bud, I don't know what to tell you. It's fucking crazy.
I wake up on the shuttle. And Garrus Vakarian is, like, shitting himself, panicked that I died, that I was
just
dying
dead
down there.
Yeah.
And Anne is also there, like, immediately after. And
no, she's not. She wasn't there. You're lying. You've misremembered that.
And you speak with her on comms and then hack it. Yeah.
Cool. Fun.
Yeah.
No, you're misremembering. She had died. No, she died a little bit ago. She was dead. And then you're talking to Hackett, and Hackett's like, hey, listen, if it wasn't you telling me this, I wouldn't believe you even a little bit.
Yeah.
But
you went down to the depths and you met God.
You went down to the depths of the ocean and you met God. Yeah. You met God and you said, I actually convinced God to join us in the war.
Yeah, I said, God, please help, actually.
Please
help. This might be the
Daddy,
only
please
way.
Please help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have the Leviathans as a...
And we have the Leviathans joining us. As a war asset. And the fact that they're not like... The power that they give you is 100 billion power in a war effort. It's crazy. It's like, I don't know. It's funny. It was like, it was such... I think I checked. I checked and it was something ridiculous.
I saw the thing, but I didn't check what it was.
It was some like... It was like in the low hundreds. It was like a 300, 400. But there is, it's like the group of people from Omega is like only 100 less. And I'm like, a group of like scrappy teams is only 100 less strong than the gods of the universe.
Yeah, that so, built these things. But my thought is that they are confined to a space. Like they...
To a single planet. Yeah. They also like... Yes, they have range, but they only have range through their artifacts. So they can't actually do a huge amount of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I imagined that as soon as the Reapers get a hold... It's more that it's not they're weak. It's that the Reapers will send a huge amount of Reapers to the planet and they will kill all the Reapers that are hitting their planet. So it's like there's just less forces attacking Earth because they've diverted a bunch rather than they're actually not that strong.
That's what it has to be.
Is what I think it
in
is.
In my opinion, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking cool as shit,
cool, actually. Cool.
An awesome world build DLC.
Good
so
world
fun.
Build, good adventure. Not like, I feel like a lot of Dragon Age's really good DLCs are also really challenging in a way that's like daunting.
Sure.
I felt like this was a good mix. Like, I didn't feel like I was struggling the whole way through.
We are also at the end of the game. We are, like, dead at the end of the
game. I did actually see a couple people, now that you mention it, when I was looking up something, because at some point I had to look up something because I got lost or I couldn't find my way through something. Oh, it was way, way back in the first Dr. Bryson's facility. I could not figure out how to get the codes to the security desk. So whatever.
Oh, I also,
I was like looking that up because I was like, I fucked something up. I am lost here. I saw and I did not get the answer that I needed, but I did find somebody saying that you can trigger this at almost any level. Like it's like, or like the opportunity to trigger Leviathan comes super, super early.
Well, because we both accidentally did the opening of this.
That's true. We both did the opening bit really, really early, and then we would have had a bad time, probably. But yeah, I feel like this was like very, you know.
It's fucking good. Cool. God, it
Whereas
cool.
I feel like even doing the Deep Roads in Inquisition at the end of the game, I still feel
like God,
I'm
you're so
fighting
right.
for my
I
fucking life.
Fucking, I completely forgot about the Deep Roads expansion.
I know,
I
the
fucking
descent.
Hated that. Oh I'm my like, God, the descent sucked so hard. Damn.
And I
yeah,
was
no,
fighting
you're so right,
all
actually.
This
yeah, this is way
for,
fucking
like,
easier than the descent.
Yeah, and like the lore that you get from it is great, but the fight that you have to do to get any of it is like, oh my fucking God. So this
oh
was
God,
like a
I
much better mix.
Damn.
I know, me too. It's so infuriating.
God, I hated that. It's so infuriating. Man, that story is good, though.
That's a cool fucking story. I know, and that's the thing. But I'm like,
this story is some of my favorite Dragon Age is. The gameplay is completely dog shit. Not to talk about Dragon Age in our Mass Effect show. But,
no, but I mean, the relation is, that's the thing. Like, it is like, I really enjoyed this mix, and I think that that makes such a good DLC. It isn't like... It is great lore, great history, great additional plot. It still felt very deeply connected to the main plot. It did not feel like a side quest, did not feel like a unnecessary. In fact, it feels like deeply connected. But it also didn't feel like I was fighting for my life just to get
get this big story things, No, it's great. It's so cool. I didn't know any of this beforehand, and it was just so... The Leviathans are just so cool. I love it. It's crazy that we haven't had a deep water adventure yet. It feels That's like such true. A sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
Was so cool. I liked how... I really loved how horror it started. And then it also, like, the end did also pretty horror. But I loved the puzzle bit right at the beginning of the lab where you had to find all the pieces and then try to slot them, like, try to, like, narrow down what galaxies and planets you were looking for. And then the puzzle combat that happened when you're trying to, like, charge up the batteries, by running back and forth and, you know, avoiding combat. I thought that was really cool. The cutscenes were weirdly really dynamic. There was a lot of like moving from this is a cutscene to this is now gameplay that was really fun.
Oh,
there was a lot
very
of like
smooth.
Rather than hard cuts, it was a lot of like sweeping cameras that then settled.
I know that's a weird thing to bring up,
but it's a thing I really liked.
Yeah, I do like that. This game does that a lot in general, but this DLC does it really well. Yeah.
Really well. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of the characters had a lot to say. Edie was a kind of must bring along she's put in your party in the lab. And then I was like, oh, well, I'm bringing you along then because clearly you have a lot to say. And she did.
I had forgotten she was put into your party in the lab. But I brought her along for most of it.
I really do like that they put James Vega in as like a pretty...
Because otherwise...
As a guy. Because otherwise I would literally never speak to the guy ever.
I would never speak to the guy.
But I thought that was fun. Relating the Leviathans to indoctrination to the Rachni was also really cool.
Yes.
Because there was a brief mention of... that the Rachni during the Rachni Wars had the Leviathans' indoctrination in them. Like, they were indoctrinated by the Leviathans to do the Rachni Wars. And that's why the Queen in One is talking about how her song was wrong during that time and, like, how the song was wrong.
Right, yes.
Because the Leviathans were infecting it. And I was like, that's fucking cool. And then now the Reapers are doing the same thing. It was just fun. It was really fun, really cool.
Lore.
I like the fact that they bring up Harbinger, how Harbinger was the first Reaper, because, you know, he was such a big voice in two. I just think it was just really, really cool.
It was great. No, it was a genuinely great time.
Yeah. I could have used, if I'm to do full critique, I could have used a tiny bit of choices in it.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't feel like there were any choices that I was making that mattered.
Yeah,
like,
because Anne Bryce dies no matter what. And
she dies no matter what, so that doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter if you're good or bad.
No, I do actually agree with you, though. I do think that... I get why they don't include as much choice in DLCs. I know it becomes trickier to do that. But I really enjoy when a DLC can really impact the main game in in a way. Yeah. And I know it's tricky, but I love it. And I agree. That would have been my note, too. Yeah.
It's just like one thing of having them not join you at the end, I think, could be cool. I don't know how that would
Right, because
happen,
as far as
like,
I'm aware, that as long as you complete the DLC, they always join you.
And it's a thing with a DLC where I'm like, this is self-contained enough that I know for a fact you don't need them to complete the final battle.
Right.
Because I never did when I was playing it.
That would be a thing.
Have you have the ability to fuck up? Have you, like, give you the ability to fuck up really bad?
Right.
Like, I don't know what would happen. Like, maybe
tell them off for...
For making it,
for
yeah,
making
for making
the Reapers, and like,
and then they're like, cool, so I'm not going to help you then, fuck you. Or maybe it's like things that you're doing throughout the DLC that, like, because they're watching you the whole time, and then they're
right.
like, no, we're not going to do it because of this thing you did, or this thing you did, or this thing yeah. you did. Give us an opportunity to, like,
to
if you piss
up.
Them off enough, to kill one of them. Like, we have to. Like, it's like, it's either you, the end game is you fight a Reaper or you fight a Leviathan. Ultimately
right.
the same fight, but you could see how these freaks move. That could be fun. You know, there's a lot. The thing is that because there really wasn't many decisions. Even so far as, you know, we joke, and Bryson dying. I was hoping what would have happened is because you stopped it, you had to do an additional mission to try to find where the Leviathans were. But I didn't have to do that because I forced her to the indoctrination thing to finish before
yeah.
I,
no.
you know, before I stopped it.
That's
I thought
purely
that would
a
have been
that's
cool.
a personality choice, I like to call it, where it's like you've made that choice for character
sure.
reasons, not. For story reasons, you've made that to
is,
decide who Shepard is, not to
I
decide where the story is going.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of true, but it's presented as a.
Oh, I agree.
It's like
not
we
my
find
favorite.
Them or we don't. Yeah,
yeah. But that is also something I've gotten used to in Mass Effect now, because I feel like when you think Mass Effect versus Dragon Age,
yes.
a lot of those
yeah.
choices are. You are deciding who, what kind of person Shepard is. You are not really deciding the direction
yeah.
the story
yeah,
is
yeah,
going.
Yeah, yeah.
You are this decision, this action, especially Renegade and React. You are
yeah.
you are making a choice as to who Shepard is, and I think that's still cool, and I think that's still a cool, valuable storytelling tool. I tend to prefer the like those kinds of like big story choices that I was used to with Dragon Age, but this has grown on me. I it has
the
grown on
me
that
is.
It's like
yeah.
you're deciding who she is. The story is going to stay relatively the same. It's like sort of like, okay, we know that like in 90% of all Mass Effect storylines,
Ashley,
oh
my, you're doing
no.
Ashley Gayden? Rex?
Oh, well, sure. We know that in a lot of the stories, Rex dies. That's actually, I was thinking about in 3 when, oh my God, his name has just like fallen out of my head and it's crazy because I love him.
Mordin Solus.
Mordin Solus, thank you. In like a vast majority of playthroughs, Mordin Solus dies. So that's like a almost universal experience for the player. But
yeah,
the but, React is there for you to decide what Shepard would do when Shepard begs him at the end. Like,
yeah.
And Tally, if you choose one way or another,
yeah.
you have a React that is just to show you who Shepard is, because you can't impact what happens to Tally at the end of that.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. And like those things are different, but it's also it's grown on me. I think it's an interesting difference in how choices matter in these games versus in Dragon Age, where it's driving a little bit more of the plot. And this is really just like, especially given that you're all playing the same character, no one's building a different character. So these kinds of choices, these moment-to-moment reactions and stuff. That's how you differentiate your shepherd from other shepherds. And I think that that's, I think that that's cool. And I've grown to like it, despite it not being my favorite BioWare thing. It's cool. I think it's cool.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Actually, you've pulled me around for that. I do like it. Woohoo! We did it. But yeah, that is
Leviathan.
That is Mass Effect the Leviathan. Loved it. I really dug it. I dug it really
I did
hard.
Love it.
I thought it was really cool.
I did love it. It was really cool.
And next week, this is going to be a tough one for me. This has been my most anticipated DLC ever, and I have never played
Feral.
It.
I'm going crazy.
We're doing the Shore Leave DLC.
Surely.
We're
getting a
it
house.
Is essentially a beach episode, baby. We're getting a house. It's a beach episode.
Well, I did accidentally start this one, but then I reloaded my save. So I played the first like
out of it, yeah.
20 minutes of it, 15 minutes maybe. It seems like it's more than just a beach episode. It seems like something bad happens, but
sure. Yeah.
I am excited. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
And very excited because I know that when I started it by accident, I had not locked in my Garrus romance. And I saw someone say that if you do it before your romance is locked in, it's different. So I'm deeply excited.
Fascinating. Perpetually. Chronically single Siobhan Shepherd. I'm gonna give you the
pick one of your
happens.
Bitches
one of my many floozies and the person I actually want to romance the straight woman Tally or the straight woman Miranda, both of whom is stupid and crazy.
Stupid.
Both of them are straight. Stupid that Jack is straight as well.
Do you have a quote for us?
I think it must be the darkness must not be breached.
The darkness must not be breached is the one. That's the one.
The darkness must not be breached. Okay, do you want to do it on three?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to count us in? Hey, gang. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you so much. Again, as we said, next week is Mass Effect 3 Shore Leave. We appreciate y'all. Join the Discord. We have a patron.
Please.
But in the meantime,
the darkness must not be breached. Whoa.